This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Stand. Now, the latest government restrictions imposed this week mean that people have been encouraged to work at home, and there are restrictions on the hospitality business, in particular pubs and nightclubs having to close by 12 o'clock. And many believe that, like other European countries, notably Germany, we may well be forced into another lockdown. We're certainly experiencing a surge, a fourth wave of the COVID virus, and it's very serious indeed for health reasons, of course, but also economically, it puts us and other countries into a position that is really unprecedented. And to discuss the consequences of this, we're joined now by one of our leading economists, Jim Power. Jim, the new restrictions will cause despair, I'm sure, for people in the hospitality industry who are again forced into curbing their business or maybe abandoning it altogether. From an economic point of view, looking at the big picture and indeed the micro picture, how long can we afford these successive lockdowns or interruptions, shall we say, to normal business? And the other question I want to ask you about later is there seems now to be a consensus in business across the world, in the US, in Britain, and in Europe, that working from home might be something that people will be allowed to do in the future. But we'll come to that. Just the economic consequences first and how bearable they are.
Okay, Eamon. I think the first thing to recognize is that's what's happening here in Ireland in terms of surging case numbers. We're not unique. And in fact, the daily new case level in the EU as a share of the population is now higher than the United States. And that does represent a massive turnaround from a situation a few weeks ago. And if you look at what's happening in countries like Austria, Belgium, the Netherlands, new restrictions are being implemented by the national government and Ireland, of course. And in Germany, some state governments are now starting to implement restrictions. So that's going to gather momentum. And two states in Austria, for example, have implemented full lockdown. So Europe is very definitely in the middle of a fourth surge at this stage. And the measures that were introduced in Ireland this week, you can criticize the illogicality of them. I mean, closing pubs and nightclubs at 12 o'clock, I just don't see the logic there. And in fact, I've seen a number of hospitality businesses now saying, advertising, they're going to be open from 4 in the afternoon until 12 at night. So I don't think these measures will actually succeed in achieving what the government and NPHET want to achieve. And on that basis, and I'm not an epidemiologist, obviously, but I would find it hard to see these measures actually having a significant impact on the infection rate over the coming weeks. Getting people to work from home from tomorrow, I'm being told, and it's very difficult to know what statistics you can really believe in this regard, but I'm being told that there is quite a high incidence of workplace infection. And of course, in the workplace, when people leave work, they go to the pub or whatever. So perhaps the reintroduction of the working from home directive for those who can bear it might just prove somewhat effective. But unfortunately, I think there's a strong possibility that we will see even more stringent restrictions implemented over the coming weeks. I hope not, but that's how it would appear to me at the moment. In terms of the economic impact of all of that, you know, we've lived since March 2020 with a huge level of restriction in the economy to varying degrees. And in fact, Ireland, as we've often discussed, has had one of the most stringent level of restrictions across any EU country. And indeed, we score highly at a global level. But having, despite that, our economy actually in the last 18 months has performed quite strongly. And it's important to point out, as I've done before for you, there's very much a dual economy structure, foreign direct investment here. The multinational sector is booming. Financial services are doing well. Professional services are doing well. If you work in the public sector, you're doing well. You've continued to earn and so on. So that part of the economy growing really, really strongly. And that's delivering very buoyant tax revenues and general levels of economic activity. Whereas sectors that have been most open to restrictions over the last 18 months, like hospitality, like personal services, the airline industry, these are the sectors that are really were struggling to gain traction despite the reopening. And now, of course, we're back into a series of further restrictions. So for the hospitality sector, it is certainly a case of throwing your hands in the air. And I would certainly worry that if these sorts of restrictions remain in place throughout what is the most important time of the year for these businesses, you could have a serious level of insolvency in 2022 in that sector. And in the non-essential retail sector, likewise, last Thursday, I think it was, the chief medical officer came out with some pretty strong messages about what was happening and telling people to, you know, limit their social contacts and so on. And a lot of business people have told me in the hospitality sector and in the retail sector that actually it was very noticeable the following day, the number of people coming into the premises dropped dramatically. So people are certainly limiting their own activities. Well, some people, but that's obviously bad news for those businesses affected. So this is exactly not what those sectors required at this stage. And it's certainly not what they required coming into what is the most profitable, lucrative time of the year for them. And there's a distinct danger now that Christmas could be a very muted affair once again.
Yes, and Jim, one of the kind of the observations that have been made politically was made by Jim O'Callaghan yesterday, Fianna Fáil TD, and believed to be a leadership contender if something were to happen to Micheál Martin, by which I mean a revolt of some kind. The government has so far had the PUP, the pandemic unemployment payment, and they were there. That was supposed to stop this week. Presumably, it will have to restart in many cases. And Jim O'Callaghan, on the plinth of the Dáil, came out and said, and he isn't in government, he is a dissident backbencher waiting his chance. He said that he didn't agree that these payments should be restored because there are hundreds of thousands of positions out there that aren't taken. In other words, there are jobs there that people aren't taking. Why should the government sustain you know, people with payments? But that's really a kind of, well, it seems to me to be off point, really, because specialized people with specialized skills, for example, don't want to go and do just any old job, and not all the skills you might have in the hospitality industry are transferable.
Yeah, that's very true. But one of the things that's been pretty clear over the last number of months as the economy has tried to return to some semblance of normality is that many sectors, particularly hospitality and retail, are finding it really difficult to actually attract labor. And that is despite the fact you know, we've had 70, 80,000 people on the pandemic unemployment payment. So I think it is definitely the case that the pandemic unemployment payment is acting as a barrier for some people to return to the workforce.
Really?
And that is, that is certainly not what you would desire. But now, as we enter into a new round of restrictions, and I guess what we've seen to date is pretty mild relative to, you know, where we've come from over the last 18 months or so. But still, there's a struggle for some sectors like, you know, nightclubs and pubs. This really is a serious problem. And many will have to lay off their workers again. And I think government will have no choice other than to step in to restore the PUP to its to the level it was at before. So I would agree with Jim O'Callaghan to a certain extent that if the PUP is acting as a disincentive for people coming into the workforce, well, then it certainly should not be increased again. But on the other hand, if these sectors are forced into further restrictions, and if they are, if given no choice other than to lay off staff again, the government will have no choice other than to introduce the PUP, because the PUP was put in place to protect those workers who lost their jobs because of COVID restrictions. And we're likely now over the coming weeks to see people losing their jobs again as a result of COVID restrictions. So obviously, to follow the logic of that, the PUP will have to be restored, and it is going to be very expensive. It's not what the public finances require at the moment. But one thing that does actually mitigate the negative effect on the public finances is that tax revenues are proving incredibly buoyant.
Right.
You know, they're up about 25% year to the first 10 months of the year. Income tax is booming, VAT is booming, and corporation tax is booming. So at least we are generating the resources now to fund ongoing expenditure to compensate those businesses and those workers affected by COVID. And at the end of the day, you know, these businesses, these workers are being forced to restrict their activities,
of course,
in the national interest. So they do deserve to be compensated for that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now, Jim, the question of working from home, Micheál Martin, when he made his announcement on Wednesday night, insisted that people should, wherever possible, people should work from home. And that appears to be a consensus here among people who are running businesses or indeed big corporations with big offices that are have been largely empty for some time. Also across Europe and in the United States and in Britain, there is, it appears, you'd be a better observer of this, there appears to be an emerging consensus that one of the lasting changes of this 20-month-old pandemic may be the encouraging people who can to actually work from home. Do you detect that? And how is that likely to reconfigure our cities, Dublin being a good example, but any city? And how is it likely to change the way business is done?
The Los Angeles Times ran a story today saying that despite the fact that working from home has not diminished US productivity, and productivity is measured as output per worker. And
yes.
In fact, US productivity has performed strongly over the last 18 months, despite the fact that many people were working from home. So that suggests that the economic impact of working from home from a business perspective is pretty minimal, if non-existent. Okay, so that's one thing. But the second thing that's interesting, and I guess this resonates with a lot of what I hear from employers, that employers in the United States are increasingly turning to software that can track workers without
right.
the workers' knowledge. So in other words, there's
it's a good idea.
Yeah, there's software being developed. And indeed, Ross O'Carroll Kelly's daughter and the Irish Times piece on Saturday has a similar idea, but that's beside the point. The supplier of the software that's being used by employers in the States without the knowledge of the workers themselves said that basically employers want to make sure that the productivity stays high, and that this now has essentially become the new norm, working from home, but also trying to ensure that business performance and productivity do not suffer as a result of working from home. I get a very mixed picture here in this country. In the last couple of days, as the announcement was made that people were to work from home again, a few employers I was speaking to were throwing their hands up in the air. They want to get back into the office as quickly as possible because they believe that having a workforce in an office is the best way to proceed and the best way to generate business and productivity and so on.
I imagine generate ideas. I mean, people talking to each other, holding meetings, or there's a kind of something that's difficult to calculate.
There is aim.
Yeah.
I mean, I have worked from home for over 10 years at this stage, and I'm a good indicator of the social impact that can have on you. You go very
yes.
odd. going into the office, Eamon, is good for people. It's good socially. It's good in the workplace in the sense that ideas are bounced around the place at the
yes.
coffee dock or wherever. So I would hate to think that working from home becomes the new norm. I think there will be a hybrid model put in place by many employers where it's possible to allow the workers work from home certain days of the week, or certain workers maybe working from home the whole time. But I think it's going to be a hybrid model rather than an all-out model. And a lot of people I talk to I get a very diverse view as well. Some people love working from home and they really do not want to go back into the office, particularly people who have had to commute, back in the pre-COVID days. Then I know a lot of other people, all they want to do is get back into the office as quickly as possible. They miss the whole social thing. They miss the interaction. They miss, you know, leaving work on a Friday evening, going for a few pints with the workmates and so on. So working in the office is socially important as well as important from a business perspective. But we will. So I'm not sure it's going to become the new norm. Obviously, it will as long as COVID persists out there. But I don't believe it is going to become the new norm. As I say, there will be a bit of a hybrid model. In terms of the impact on city centres and so on, I was in Dublin City Centre on Tuesday of this week, and I have to say, I found it quite depressing. You know, things were really quiet. A lot of businesses shut down. I made two attempts to go for lunch with a mutual friend of ours, and
Chris Johns.
The first two premises we went to were actually closed.
Right.
You know, and that's indicative of the impact that keeping people out of the city centre is having on those businesses. And they will be absolutely distraught by the announcements this week that people are going to have to continue to work from home for the foreseeable future. So undoubtedly, it is going to do serious damage to the fabric of Dublin city centre particularly, but other larger cities as well, because having a workforce keeps the daytime economy going. And of course, if you don't have a daytime economy going, the nighttime economy is going to suffer as well, because a lot of people leave work and they then enter into what we call the nighttime economy. So if people aren't going in, well, then the nighttime economy is going to suffer as well. So I think we really need to think long and hard before we try to make this the new norm about the implications it is going to have for the integrity and vibrancy of our, you know, city centres, and not just in Dublin, around the country.
Yes, and I mean, people have suffered or endured a terrible time with worries about health, with enduring the consequences of catching this virus, or having a relative catch the virus, or being unable to visit an elderly relative in a care home or hospital, unable to say goodbye at the passing of somebody. There are many, many vicissitudes people have had to cope with in the last 20 months, Jim. And this change that is conceivable, particularly in the city centres, you talk about the daytime economy. The daytime economy would include shops where people buy their coffee or their newspaper or their cigarettes or whatever, cafes and restaurants where people go for a bit of lunch or a sandwich. There are things that we take for granted or have taken for granted in the past that could really be mortally damaged if the working from home thing were to develop real legs.
Yeah, they would be irreparably damaged. There is no doubt about that. I was told earlier this week that prior to the announcement of the latest restrictions, that footfall in Dublin city centre, footfall in the retail sector, was 20% lower than 2019, than pre-COVID. Right. And whereas the out-of-town places like Dundrum still seem to be doing pretty well. And that's one of the dangers. Over the last 18 months, a lot of us have, well, most people have stopped going to the city centre, and then you get into that habit. And it's more convenient to go to shopping centres
and cheaper.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So the one thing those businesses need to restore a normal level of business activity is to have people coming back into town to work, because the office population is the most important segment of the daytime economy in Dublin.
Right.
And if those people are not coming in for work purposes, they're unlikely to go in for any other purpose then, because, you know, habits have been formed. And I think it will be extraordinary to see over the next couple of years, Eamon, the legacy of COVID-19 socially, yes, economically, from a business perspective, because it's been an absolutely horrendous period in our lifetimes. And, you know, unfortunately, we're certainly not out of it yet. And I dread to think actually where we might go over the next 7 or 8 weeks. So then when you come into 2022, when, you know, everyone believed there would be a strong rebound in economic activity in the sectors that were worst affected by COVID, that we, yes, would return to the sort of normality that we lived with back in 2019. And if that's not going to happen now, a lot of businesses will just decide, well, there's no point hanging out any longer, because a lot of businesses have hung in there in the hope that hope was around the corner. But that, yes, that's fading again now. And there's only so much pain that, and so many knocks that these owners of these businesses in the hospitality sector particularly can actually take.
And, yeah, and one of the things that would have kept hope alive, as it were, would have been the idea or the prospect that a vaccine would come along that would solve the problem, if you forgive the trite use of the word solve. The vaccines have come along, and they have made a material difference to the number of people sick and seriously ill in hospital or dying. However, the conditions that we imagined vaccines would prosper in and save us all from, they haven't been able to do that. And this is where this latest wave could trigger the kind of despair that you're referring to about where are we with this thing? We've never experienced in our lifetime, Jim, something like a world war or a depression such as there was in the 1930s. But this pandemic could be that thing that changes people's lives and the way people live forever.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Eamon. In reading history, one thing you learn is that the First World War, you know, fundamentally changed life. It fundamentally changed so much. And I think more so than the Second World War, which was also significant. But the First World War really seems to have had the most dramatic impact. And I think this is another period like that, as you say. This is something that none of us would ever have imagined, none of us have ever experienced. And unfortunately, it ain't going away, because this time last year, we were starting to get optimistic about the, yes, vaccine program. And maybe, yeah, we should still be, I think, positive and optimistic.
Of course, and grateful for it. Yeah.
But immunity is waning. I guess the hope of the medical community now and the scientific community is that the third vaccine is the one that will actually give the longer lasting immunity from COVID.
This is the booster jab,
the,
yeah,
the booster jab. But there's still no guarantee about that.
Absolutely not.
You know, we may have to live in an environment where every 6 months or so we're going to have to get boosters. And I guess that would allow us to live normal lives. You know, if that's something we would accept, so be it. And of course, the antiviral tablet that is being developed by, yes, Merck and Pfizer at the moment also does offer some hope. But for those businesses we discussed that are, you know, reeling from the last 18 months and are now being thrown into a state of despair again following the latest restrictions with the possibility of more to come, you know, a lot of those businesses just are unlikely to survive into 2022 unless there is a massive renewal of state support for those businesses. And whether government is prepared to do that or not remains to be seen. But it's a pretty hairy situation at the moment. One statistic I was looking at recently was the level of insolvencies that we've seen in this country.
Yes.
And in fact, the level of insolvencies has remained very, very low, considering what the country has been going through. And that's because a lot of businesses were just hanging in there, getting government support with the prospect that life would return to normal late this year or into 2022. And that hope is now being dashed again. So as I said earlier, a lot of those businesses might just throw the hands in the air and say, damn it, I've had enough. Let's get out of here. It's just not worth it. So,
okay.
But if you put yourself in the hands of Nevitt and government as well, the problem is there are not too many options because, no. You know, case numbers are now at frightening levels again. Hospitalizations, yes. ICU are at frightening levels again. And you could always, I guess, lament the fact that we didn't put increased ICU and hospital bed capacity in place over the last couple of years, you know, to deal with ongoing surges of the virus. But
well, clearly these new measures are the result of NPHET modelling that is actually frightening,
yeah.
And talks about people, up to 5,000 people needing emergency care in hospital.
Yeah.
We're very grateful to you, Jim. We just have to wait and see. But this is a world that even economists couldn't foresee.
I know, what has happened in the last couple of years, I think, demonstrates the futility of economic forecasting. You know,
yes.
Whatever sort of forecasting you engage in, you could never legislate for something like this. I guess that is the world of economics, but that's life. There's always something out there totally unexpected waiting to hammer you on the head. And we're certainly living through one of those events at the moment. I feel sort of embarrassed at this stage going out trying to make forecasts because there's just so much uncertainty out there on so many different fronts that it's impossible to be confident in any views you have at the moment. And, you know, the manner in which the COVID situation has deteriorated over a 2 or 3 week period is quite extraordinary. And if you consider it's not too long ago that we were talking about NPHET being wrapped up and put out to grass.
Yeah.
And it's quite clear that NPHET is going to be with us for some time to come. So it's not a very promising specter. And the unfortunate thing, of course, is from a business perspective, it is happening at the most important time of the year for many businesses in the hospitality and retail sector. So, you know, I think what we all need to do as consumers in this country is to get out there and support our local businesses insofar as we can, because they deserve our support at the moment, because they've been through incredibly tough times.
Yes.
And I would say, you know, ahead of so-called Black Friday next Friday, I think people should really eschew overseas online shopping and try and support local Irish businesses, because if those businesses disappear, they won't come back and we will all be the worse off as a result of that. And our towns and cities will suffer. So I think in the midst of all of this turmoil and uncertainty, a little bit of economic nationalism would not go astray at this juncture.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much indeed, as always, for those thoughtful views. You can listen to Jim, who, along with Chris Johns, they have their own podcast. It's very good. It's called The Other Hand. They're economists with a soul and even a brain, who didn't predict five of the last two. I can't remember what it is now.
Five of the last two recessions.
Yeah, five of the last two recessions. Thanks very much, Jim.
Thank you.
We're very grateful to Jim, indeed, and to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.